Good morning, everyone. Again, I'm going to pray in a second. If you've got a Bible with you, if you want to turn, please, to Revelation chapter 4. And that will be the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning. But just before I do that, I want to pray for God's Word. But I also want to pray because I've been specifically asked to pray for someone. And I had promised, and I know that the early prayer meeting this morning had also been praying for Colm and Betty, but I just want to bring them before God this morning as well. So let's just bow our heads together in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we come before you this morning and thank you that we have this opportunity again to meet with you. We've enjoyed communion this morning, Lord, in the taking of the wafer and the juice, Lord God, that symbolizes the body of Jesus broken for us and his blood shed on our behalf. And that, Lord God, gives us the direct access to the throne room of Almighty God, where we can approach you, Father, humbly seeking, Lord God, for you to move in our lives, for you, Lord God, to touch other people's lives, to move in power, Lord God, and change circumstances. We thank you, Father, that you have called us to serve. And one of those means of service, Lord God, is prayer. Father, we have been asked as a fellowship, not just me, but asked as a fellowship if we would remember Colm and Betty, Lord God. And you know their plight, you know their situation, you know, Lord God, the difficulty that the whole family face at this time. But nothing is impossible with you. And so we come to you, the God of the impossible, and ask, Lord God, that you would reverse the diagnosis, Lord God, that has been spoken over this family, Lord God, and affects this family. And we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, that your great grace and tender mercies would be extended, Lord God, and that the healing power of Jesus would be poured out upon this family, and in particularly, Lord God, for Colm and for Betty, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name for your grace and your tender mercies, and we thank you, Father, for the privilege that it is to this fellowship to be asked, Lord God, to remember them in prayer before you today. Grant, O God, that your healing power would be poured out upon them in Jesus' name. Speak to us now, Lord, please, through your living and active word. Hear us, Lord, as we cry to you that we want to have a clearer view of you and serve you more faithfully and more obediently by the power of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a new series. We have now finished our Apostles' Creed and we're now on to a new series called The Holiness of God, and that's the beginning again for us of the Apostles' Creed. So we finished with life everlasting, we're back again to the start. But you're not going to hear us each week talking about I believe in God the Father or whatever. The series is The Holiness of God. And the aim of this series is, I hope, to help us get a better grasp of what this actually means. We rhyme off words because when we become Christians, we very quickly learn Christianese. And Christianese rhymes off all of these things like the holiness of God. But what does that actually mean? And how does God's holiness affect us? In fact, how should God's holiness impact our lives? Because let me tell you something. If God's holiness is not impacting your life, then you're fooling yourself into thinking that you're a Christian. And there's a lot of people sitting in many, many churches right across this town, right across this land, who are fooling themselves into thinking that they are Christians, but they know nothing of the holiness of God. And we hope through this series to show that holiness, which is often a neglected subject, should be a deep desire in the heart of every believer in Jesus. Do you hear that this morning? Now think about it. We all here call ourselves believers in Jesus. And I'm saying to you that holiness should be a deep desire in the heart of every believer in Jesus. I believe the Bible teaches holiness is something every Christian ought to be striving after. In fact, I would go as far as to say, in my opinion, if a Christian isn't interested in holiness, they are not a Christian. That's my view. If a Christian is not interested in holiness, now remember, that might be Christianese when I'm saying holiness, because we may not understand what it actually means. But if a Christian isn't interested in holiness, they're not a Christian. We'll be looking at the holiness of God from various angles, from stories that you have read in the Bible and have seen many, many times, but we're going to look at it from a completely different point of view. And there is no doubt, and I said this on Wednesday night, there is no doubt some of us are going to be really offended, and others, I hope, will think differently about giving wee words from the Lord. I get fed up to the back teeth listening to wee words from the Lord. Rita knows more than anybody how fed up to the back teeth I get listening to wee words from the Lord. Don't you, Rita? She always hears me gurning about it. I hate this. I have a wee word from the Lord for you. And quite frankly, without swearing, half of them are the biggest load of absolute rubbish that you could possibly imagine. A wee word from the Lord, or people saying, God put this on my heart. What the heck does that mean? God put, you know, rip me open and set this reading of scripture on them. What does that actually mean? God put this on my heart. God showed me this or that. This, let me be clear, this is not about discouraging people from listening for God's voice. Christians are expected to be listening for God's voice. It's not about discouraging us from sharing what we hear, feel, think, or believe that God is saying. But the series will hopefully make you consider more carefully if what you hear, feel, think, or believe God is saying is actually from God. Here in Shiloh and elsewhere, I've heard people bring words from the Lord. I've had more judgment of God rain down upon my head from Christians who were pissed off with me for some reason. That's in the King James Version. Because I said something they didn't like, and because I refused to recant and say it's in the scriptures, they rain down the judgments of God. God's going to do this on you. And I'm nearly walking around in my house terrified that I was going to get struck by lightning. Keith himself had been subject in that back room there to absolute torrents of God's judgment going to be poured out on him because he had grieved the Holy Spirit, according to a Looper Christian. These Looper Christians who think they hear from God and bring these wee words from the God would be better off in a mental institution. Their head bends if they think they're hearing from God in that way. And I would be bold enough to say under God, that's my view. Here in Shiloh and elsewhere, I have heard people bring words from the Lord, or I've listened to prayers that have been prayed, readings that God has put on people's hearts, or things people said God gave them to share, and to be quite frank, most of them have been utter tosh, off the flesh, emotional rants, verging on gossip. Or dare I say, even inspired by Satan. This series on the holiness of God isn't about seeking to offend. Look, if you get offended, come and tell me by the end of the series. Come and tell Keith you're offended and we'll go, well, you'll get over it. We'll pray for inner healing. You know, we'll pray for inner healing. But this series, it's not about seeking to offend anyone. I sat there this morning at the back where Keith is at the moment. I sat there this morning praying, saying, Lord, do I have to do this talk? And when I'm preparing this talk, I'm putting this talk into my life. And then I'm having to present this, knowing that it's not just people in Shiloh, but it's going out on Facebook or whatever else, or on the podcast, and other people are listening to and thinking, who does your man think he is? I'm only sharing with you what I believe I have seen as I'm preparing this series. It's not about seeking to offend anyone. I pleaded with God, please don't let me have to do it if it doesn't need to be done. But it endeavors, hopefully, to correct a wrong view of God. And I've said this before, God isn't our mate. Get that out of your head. It's not God Almighty. He's God Almighty. And we have a wrong view of God. And some of us actually have that wrong view, and we want to try to help us all to understand God a little bit better. So to do that, please do not answer this question. Okay? Let me ask. What sin is the most dominant sin in your life right now? Right this very moment, or right this day, what sin is the most dominant sin in your life right now? Could you answer that question without really having to think about it? If you say no, how would you feel if I told you that that proves you're not taking holiness seriously? If you cannot identify what is the most besetting sin, what is the most troubling sin in your life right now, you are not taking holiness seriously. Turn please to Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to read the whole chapter, so I'll fly through it. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne there were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." John is the author of the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John is the author of the Gospel of John. He's also the author of the three short letters, 1, 2, and 3 John. But the Apostle John, the one whom Jesus loved the most, is also this author for the book of Revelation. And he had been banished by the Roman Emperor Domitian to a small island called Patmos. And I used to have this view that he was this like poor wee man sitting on an island all on his tod, you know, maybe like a palm tree there, and he's sitting on the beach just waiting to die, you know, as if he was there on his own. That's the way I had it until I started to look into it. But this was the island of Patmos, and it was a Greek island that was used by Rome to send prisoners to serve their sentences out under harsh conditions. It was a bit like Australia, where they sent the prisoners from here or wherever else out to Australia. Well, they were sent out in this case to this island called Patmos, and John was banished because of his Christianity. And while on Patmos, one Sunday during worship, John received a revelation from the Lord to give to his church, to the Lord's church. And the Lord gave John specific words of encouragement and rebuke for the seven churches in Asia Minor. So if you read the book of Revelation, you'll see the introduction where this happens, and then you'll see in chapters 2 and 3 the words that Jesus gave to the seven churches in the Asia Minor. Asia Minor. He also showed John incredible visions and events that were to come to pass. And when he received his revelation, in chapter 1, verse 17, you will see this, that when he received his revelation, John tells us, when I saw him, when I saw the Lord, I fell at his feet as dead. I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. John was then shown a door open in heaven, and he was commanded, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Imagine if that happened to us. Imagine if we were sitting here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, or maybe sitting in our homes some night, and we were just thinking about the Lord and his goodness and his grace and his love, when suddenly you get this vision of Jesus, and then a door open in heaven, and a voice says, come on up here, and I'll let you see some things. Imagine what that would be like. I'll tell you what it would be like when the Apostle Paul had that experience. He said he couldn't even write the words down of what he saw and heard. That's how incredible it was. And yet John was told, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. And it would seem from Revelation chapter 4 that the first thing that John saw was the throne room of Almighty God. Throne room of Almighty God. Not Almighty. John didn't go up into heaven and say, all right, mate. Because moments before, he had fallen down as if he were dead. Tell me, I know that experience. One of my foster sons yesterday fell down as if he was dead. And I thought I'm going to have to leave him lying dead to go and do a wedding because I didn't want to let the wedding people down. But eventually, thankfully, praise God, we got him back to life. But the horror of that happening when somebody just drops in front of you, and John was on an island with loads of prisoners and he hit the deck at the vision of the Lord. It doesn't say the other prisoners saw this. And then he heard the voice, come up here and I will show you these incredible things. And he didn't go up there and say, all right, Jesus. He saw God on his throne and 24 elders seated on thrones round the throne of God. There was lightning, there was thundering and voices coming from the throne of God. Seven lamps of fire burned before the throne of God, which were the seven spirits of God. Now, before anybody gets into the nonsense and thinking, oh, there must be seven Holy Spirits, because it says here in the Bible. That's not what it means. There is one Holy Spirit, and these are just different attributes. You can read about them actually in Isaiah. Seven lamps of fire burned before the throne, which were the seven spirits of God. Among many other things, John saw four weird living creatures full of eyes back and front. And these creatures, we are told, do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. Now, you probably don't know this, and you won't find it in your Bible, except for you might see a wee number or whatever beside holy, holy, holy in your Bible, and it'll tell you to go and look up, and it'll say the words nine times. Because the majority of the early manuscripts said that when John saw this, the creatures cried out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. They cried it out nine times. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And this is what the elders said when they heard the holy, holy, holy cried out nine times. They hit the deck, crying out, oh, you are worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. You see, he is the creator of all things, not our mate. And by your will, they exist. The only reason you're sitting here today, the only reason you're able to be watching on Facebook today, the only reason you're listening to this sermon today is because it is the will of God that you exist. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Holy, 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 nine times. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is holy. Throughout the Bible, we are told from start to finish that God is holy. He's called the Holy One of Israel. You'll see that in Psalm 72 or Psalm 71, verse 22. We are told all his ways are holy. Everything that God does is holy. Even his judgments are holy. Absolutely everything that God doesn't have this wee part of him. This is my holiness department. God is through and through holy, just as God is through and through love. You can't separate these into departments of God. He is completely holy. All his ways are holy. In Psalm 99, the psalmist says three times, God is holy. So what do we know about God Almighty? He is what? So what do we know about the Father in heaven? He is what? So what do we know about Jesus? He is what? So what do we know about the Spirit of the living God? He is holy. So having accepted that God's word teaches that God is holy, what does that actually mean? Because to us, it's just Christianese. It's just another one of those words like righteousness, like sanctification and justification, propitiation. These are just Christianese. So what does it actually mean? Well, when the Word of God speaks about the holiness of God, it means, first and foremost, that God is absolutely separate from all sin, from death, and from idolatry. He is completely separate from all of these things. His holiness is without equal and is completely perfect. Everything about God is perfect because he is perfect and his holiness is perfect holiness. It means that God is free from every moral imperfection, from every corruption and failure. God can never fail. When God said, you have been saved and you will be with me forever in eternity, he cannot fail to keep that promise because God is holy. He is far above all others. The word is he is transcendent. He is in a complete class of his own. There is none like him. He is absolutely separate from evil and he cannot tolerate sin. He is a judge of all that is right and pure because he is righteous and pure. And there is none as holy as him. Does that give you an idea of what holiness is about? When John met the Lord that Sunday, now, he met the Lord that Sunday on the island of Patmos. He was just worshipping as he normally does. And when he met with the Lord, what are we told? I fell at his feet as dead. I fell at his feet as dead. Such was the holiness of God. It caused this sinful Christian man, the one that God permitted in his word, because all scripture is inspired by God, so God inspired and permitted it to be written by John, that he was the one whom Jesus loved the most. The one whom Jesus loved the most, when Jesus in his glory came to give John this revelation, John, who knew and loved Jesus, fell at his feet as if he were dead. And then the Lord laid his right hand on him, saying, do not be afraid. Now let me ask those who casually say, the Lord has given me a wee word. The Lord has given me a wee reading to read out to you to share today. Or who say, God has put this on my heart to bring to you. Did you even tremble with holy fear when God allegedly spoke to you? Did you quake in your boots or think that you were going to die in that moment when the Lord prompted you? Did you suddenly get a sense of your terrible sinfulness, that besetting sin that you just can't seem to shake in your life right now when the holiness of God came into your presence? Because God cannot tolerate sin. Were you so terrified, so absolutely terrified, that you needed the Lord to encourage you to speak out that word or give that reading, or so afraid not to speak out because the Lord had told you to do it? God is holy, 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 and is to be feared, to be revered, even by his own people. So how do I know most of the words that I hear, words that come to me from people from the Lord, prayers that people pray or readings or other things that people say God gives them to read, to share, how do I know they're absolute utter tosh or off the flesh? Or how do I know they're just emotional rants verging on gossip or even inspired by Satan? Because there's no fear of God accompanying those words. There's no falling down as dead when God came to give them the word. There's no trembling, afraid to speak in case it's not of God, or not to speak because it is of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I've had people come to me trembling, saying, I've got something to share here and I don't know whether to share it or not. I've had read of different people coming and saying, God has put something on my heart and I don't know whether I should do it or not. I said to you, I sat there this morning, early in the morning, praying, saying, Lord, I don't want to have to do this talk. Scared, because I don't want to just offend people for the sake of offending people. But when you listen to people saying, I have a wee word from the Lord, God has put this on my heart, and all of the absolute rubbish that people come off with, the best way to check it out is, was it accompanied with the fear of God? Would to God people would tremble before giving a word. Look, this is not about discouraging people. We actually in this fellowship encourage people to hear from God, to share readings, to pray, to prophetic words. You know, we encourage that. Most churches wouldn't entertain it because it's always open to loopers. But we encourage people because we believe in that relationship that God has with us through faith in Jesus, that the Spirit of God dwells within us and that the Spirit of God is wanting to speak to us and to speak through us. It's not about discouraging people from listening for God's voice or from sharing what you hear, feel, think, or believe God is saying. In fact, as I said, we encourage people to be open to God. But we want you to consider more carefully if what you hear, feel, think, or believe God is saying is actually from God. And I'm going to say something this morning that's not in my notes. See, the next time somebody gives a word, go and ask them, was the fear of God upon them? Whether it's a reading, whether it's a prophetic word, whether it's a speaking out, whatever it might be, if you are unsure, go and say, was it accompanied by the fear of God? It's about encouraging people who believe they hear, feel, think, or believe that God is speaking to be sure that it is actually from God. You see, unfortunately, the church, and I'm not talking here just about Shiloh, I'm talking about people who have brought me words from all over the place. People coming to my door, people phoning me up with words from God. People texting me, here's a scripture, and I can't even be bothered to read it. When they send me, I don't even write it out, they just give you the verse. Unfortunately, the church is rife with self-seeking, self-promoting people who want to be seen as having powerful ministries or as people who really hear from God, like they're better than others, like they're God's favorites or something like that. People like this actually rob God of glory. And God, who is holy, 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 does not give his glory to another. So Christian, the Apostle John, the author of the Gospel of John, the three letters of 1st, 2nd and 3rd John, and here the book of Revelation, he walked and he talked with Jesus. He lived with Jesus for 3 years, and he ministered in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. And yet, when the Lord appeared and spoke to him on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord's holiness caused John to fall at his feet as if he were dead. Should we, therefore, Christian, should we not fear God and tremble at his word? Should we not fear and tremble before bringing what we say as a word from God, either too afraid to not do it because we're not sure if it's of God, or too afraid not to do it because we absolutely know that it is of God? God is holy, holy, holy. And even though he loves us, he is to be feared. He wants to speak to us, of course he does. He wants to use us in ministry and in service. But we must always glorify him. If we're going to do anything, speak out, read out, pray out, our motive must be to the glory of God. Even though he loves and delights in us, God's holiness should bring us to our knees, trembling in his presence. And any word that he gives should be delivered in reverent fear and in awe of him. Be open to hear God, particularly as we go through this series. Please be open to hear God, but don't tag his name to words that aren't from him. Maybe this morning there's someone listening and you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to tell you what God's word says. God is holy, 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 and he cannot tolerate sin. In holiness, he has provided a means of cleansing from sin, and that is trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus. Unless you confess your sin, agree with God that you are a sinner, unless you repent, turn around from living your life and your sinful ways and trust in Jesus, you can never enter God's holy presence. Unless you confess your sin, repent and trust in Jesus, you will die in your sin and be separated from God forever. Fear God and do what he says. Repent so that you might be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at this series on your holiness, Lord, we know that we are completely ignorant of you and of your ways. We lack understanding, O God. And so we depend upon the Holy Spirit to help us, to instruct us, to teach us. And I know, Holy Spirit, you don't want people to be offended for being offended sake. I know that you want to speak to people, that you want to use people in service and ministries. You want us to build one another up and not tear one another down. But Lord, we don't want the nonsense. We don't want the utter tosh that is not of you. We don't want the words, Lord God, that are given out with your name tagged onto it to try to justify it. We truly want to hear the voice of God. And if you come to us, Lord, and speak to us, May we receive it in the fear of God. Deliver it in the fear of God. And may our motive always be to the glory of God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you love us. Help us, please. Help us to understand your holiness and how your holiness must impact our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.